Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to the Most High Jah, Rastafari, King of Kings, Lords of Lords. Conquering lion of the tribe of Judah, elect of God, light of the world, is these imperial majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie. Protect my son David as he traveled this lonely path. Steer my son far from bloody men. Surround him with opinions sharp as daggers. Bless him with a vision to distinguish friends from foes. Bless his listeners with understanding and patience. Remind the critics that all judgment belongs to thee. May the words of thy mouth and the meditation of thy heart be acceptable in thy presence, Selah.
Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge, for lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion, and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide forever, guide, 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 forever,
Zion, Zion.
stretching forth his right hand. Oh, it's like a family reunion. Shia in a vision. Yah was there amid everyone. Stretching forth his right hand. Oh, it's like a family reunion. Everything seems so real. The warmth of Jah I could feel. His love filled me up. Oh, Lord, I didn't want to wake up. I saw Zion in a vision. Jah was there amid everyone. Stretching forth his right hand. Oh, it's like a family reunion. I saw Zion in a vision. Song, giving praises to the Almighty One. All I could see was happiness, surrounded by righteousness. Zion in a vision. I mean it. Zion in a vision. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw Zion in a vision. God was there amid everyone. Stretching forth his right hand.
I was lost. I was lost in sin sorrow on an isle. My child, I've come to save you. Step on board and follow me. Tis the old ship of Zion. Ship of Zion.
Daddy, are you alright?
I'm fine.
People are looking at you.
Thank you, sister, for the soothing truths in that old hymn.
Yeah. Amen.
Safe with Jesus, the captain.
You know he is.
Kadamawi, Kadamawi, Inflatia.
The whom praises is due for
Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge, for lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice, let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion, and go round about her, tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide forever, guide, forever, guide, forever, guide, forever. Guide.
مزمور 47 بقنف 48 በሁለተኛ ሰንበት የቆሬ ልጆች የምስጋና መዝሙር እግዚአብሔር ትልቅ ነው በአምላካችን ከተማ በተቀደሰው ተራራ ምስጋናው ብዙ ነው በሰሜን ወገን በመልካም ስፍራ የቆመ የምድር ሁሉ ደስታ የጽዮን ተራራ ነው እርሱም የትልቁ ንጉስ ከተማ ነው እግዚአብሔር ባዳራሾቿ መጠጊያ ሆኖ ይታወቃል እነሆ ነገስታት ተከማችተው በአንድነት መጥተዋል እነርሱ ሳይተው ተደነቁ ደነገጡ ታወቁ መንቀጥቀጥ እንደ ወላድ ምጥ በዚያ ያዛቸው በኃይለኛ ነፋስ የተርሴስን መርከቦች ተሰብራለ እንደ ሰማን እንዲሁ አየ በሰራዊት ጌታ ከተማ በአምላካችን ከተማ እግዚአብሔር ለዘላለም ያጠናታል አምላክ ሆይ በአሕዛብ መካከል ምሕረትህን ተቀበል አምላክ ሆይ እንደ ስምህ እንዲሁም እስከ ምድር ዳርቻ ድረስ ምስጋናህ ነው ቀኝህ ጽድቅን የተሞላች ናት አቤቱ ስለ ፍርድህ የጽዮን ተራራ ደስ ይበለው የአይሁድም ሴት ልጆች ሐሴት ያድርጉ ጽዮንን ክበቧት በዙሪያዋም ተመላለሱ ግንቦቿንም ቁጠሩ በብርታቷ ልባችሁን አኑሩ አዳራሿን አስቡ ለሚመጣው ትውልድ ትነግሩ ዘንድ ለዓለምና ለዘላለም ይህ አምላካችን ነው እርሱም ለዘላለም ይመራናል
crush down they say ya, and burn up that old betrayer, like in the fires of Kilauea, where the lava's hotter than hot. I see the wicked in my run like a fox, and I try to stay in prayer. Yes, in this your time, yes, we must beware. Take care, we in the dragon's lair, but we have no fear, Jah is the dragon slayer.
City, yeah, love and harmony, yeah, let that you heard from me.
Only one fire.
The conquering lion into the fire, to burn the fire.
Book of the Prophet, Isaiah, chapter 51, verse 12 of chapter 51.
Holy bind, holy bind, holy bind, holy bind, holy bind.
Mount Zion is only a step away. So take a step in the way of His Imperial Majesty. Gormawi Nugusa Neges Adamawi Haile Selassie, the King of Kings, His Imperial Majesty.
To turn to another subject, Your Imperial Majesty, are there any passages of the Bible that have become especially meaningful to you?
I have the highest respect for the Bible as a whole. We also recognize the rightful name the Bible bears. We find that in all the periods of the Old Testament, in the time of patriarchs, kings, and prophets, great miracles were done. On the other hand, the New Testament, in which our Lord Himself gave the command to go to all the world and to preach, is also of high value. Then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels in which the sayings of our Lord are recorded, are pillars for all men on the earth. Therefore, the Bible should not be cut into portions.
Book of the Prophet, Isaiah, chapter 51, verse 12, or chapter 52, verse 12. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? And forgetteth Yahweh thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of thy fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, nor that his bread should fail. But I am Yahweh that Elohim Buruku, that divideth the sea, whose waves roar. Yahweh the Ba'ut is his name, Buruku. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, thou art my people. Awake, awake, awake. Stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of Yahweh the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling, and wrung them out. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth, neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. These two things are come to thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation, and destruction, and the famine, and the sword. By whom shall I comfort thee? Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the strength, as a wild bull in the neck, They are all full of the fury of Yahweh, the rebuke of thy Elohim. Therefore hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus saith the master Yahweh, Buruku, and thy Elohim that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thy hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body at the ground and at the street to them that went over. Amen. Amen. Chapter 52, verse 1 to 12. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garment, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise, and sit down, O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion, for thus saith Yahweh, ye have sold yourself for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the master Yahweh, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith Yahweh, that my people was taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith Yahweh, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day I am he that doeth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace. Shalom. That bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith to Zion, thy Elohim reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye. When Yahweh Buruku shall bring again Zion, break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for Yahweh Buruku have comforted his people, he have redeemed Jerusalem. Yahweh have made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of Elohim. Buruku, depart ye, go ye out from them, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of Yahweh. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for Yahweh Buruku will go before you, and the Elohim of Israel will be your rear guard. Amen. Leave me with love, peace, and blessing. In the name of Kedemari, Haile Selassie, and the Goose Midas, Ethiopia, King of Kings, Jah Almighty, blessing Yeshua. Shalom.
You better back the hell up off of me. Look at this apostasy. Can all these things really be?
Are the black Jews? an Israel king is Israel God. And upon the crucifixion tree there, where Jesus Christ is crucified, you see I-N-R-I,
Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord. Selah.
The Brit Chadasha Chadish Kidan, renewed covenant reading for RSS number 48, Shoftim, Judges. From John chapter 1, verse 19 through 27, and Acts chapter 3, verse 22 through 23. We begin, B'Shem Ha'ab, with Habain, with Ruach HaKadosh, Yahweh Ahad. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he who be, who he be, the one. John, chapter 1, verse 19, Yotet, verse 20, Kaf. Wezot edut Yochanan, Bishlach ha-Yehudim, Kohanim u-Lewim, Me-Yerushalayim, Lishol oto, Mi-Hu, Wehu toda ulo geched ki higi lemor anoki aineni hamashiach. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not Hamashiach, I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, art thou Elijah?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they to him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of Yahuwah, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they that were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Mashiach, that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." Chapter 3, verse 22, Kaf Beit, verse 23, Kaf Gimel. Hein Moshe Amar El Aboteinu, Nabi Yakim Lakem Yahuwah Elohekem, Mikareb Achekem, Kamoni Alayu Tishmaun Kekol Asher Yidaber Alaykem, Wehaya Kol hanefesh asher lo tishma el hanabi ahu v'nekerta me'ameha. For Moses truly said to the fathers, "A prophet shall Yahuwah Elohekim, shall the Lord your God raise up to you of your brethren like to me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say to you. And it shall come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people."
Kaborula Kalu, Kaborula Dimtu, Kaborula Chailu, Kaborula Keramawi, Haile Selassie, Be Jesus Christos Sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power. Glory to Abinu, Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, yes, I, Rastafari.
If the white man has the idea of a white God, let him worship his God as he desires. We have found a new ideal. Because whilst our God has no color, and yet it is human to see everything through one's own spectacles, and since the white people have seen their God through their white spectacles, we have only now started to see our God through our own spectacles. We believe in the God of Ethiopia, the everlasting God, and we shall worship him through the spectacles of Ethiopia. Do you know what it is to be a man? To be a man is to bear resemblance of the Creator.
Haile Selassie, our mission is no joking. And a 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, A, diggle, diggle, the cat and the figure, same thing. And about weed, I tell Stew are wearing ice gold and green. You have to know his words and works to overstand why he's supreme. Mount Zion is real, unlike heaven in your dreams. The road is narrow and long. You have to be prepared to fight on the battlefield. Inner outcast Selassie army, no retreat. You know, see it. Some offer lick a lightning in the Rasta house. Cause some king of flex like back and belly rat. And some princess of flex like Minnie Mouse. I don't know what them are promote. What is either them clean up them ass or continue to chance out? No skin teeth, no joke. Me said the way I'm serious, all the chalice have to go out. Judgment has spread like lava from coast to coast. Some man make one bag of money, sit down with one bag of man a champagne toast. Pan them on a black brother, them a boss. The 12 tribe man tell me say some chicken him a go roast. How can sure me think I did healthy lifestyle Rasta promote? Still, food at the least. The lava bubble for the one just signed contract and lease with the beast. You think of that? My past Haile Selassie High School were there. My embarrassed. Look how much Rasta they about ya. I never watched the building job flat. And for things the Haile Selassie forward way from Ethiopia and lay the first block. Some realize that them only full of chat. Come and grow locks and I get pay for ack. And Babylon give them a ride for their money, get them funny. Yeah, but really and truly, how far has the Rasta movement progressed since its foundation? How long have you earned the same song and still no action? We could be self-reliant if we were serious about the mission. With the vast wealth that is generated within the Rasta organization. Some chant unity and love, but they have a single-minded meditation. Their plan is to pull you into the belly of corruption. Reggae music, idol stew, still a party pan this same Rasta bandwagon. Lion a drink Red Bull and Dragon. What that man? Concerning the Bubba man. The thing is that Haile Selassie don't deal with no form of segregation. So don't confuse me nation. One in a tree and a tree in a one. Without no apology, Marcus and Emmanuel is not a part of that combination. You mean for tell me say after Haile Selassie clear the path and set the foundation, una still about a Queen Elizabeth for repatriation? Una burn her every day and still look for 7 miles of black styline of a steel pan? Is him and schism still on a way for an early King Selassie like his a milk and honey thing? Africa wastes its creators, which simply means we have great, great works to put in. Haile Selassie! Kushum!
Are you ready? 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 Are you ready?
standing taller, to face the darkest and the hardest of times. We'll be taking care of all the children thereof, but if it's required, we'll be on the front line. You can call me by my name, I am ready to roll. Once the rules remain the same, now the story's been told. Call me anytime, never cop out. Lioness is on the rise, don't you ever have doubt. Never say never, willingness forever to fight and be strong. Once it's for better, I'll write every letter and moving right along. And I'll roll with the punches, accept changes, work with the formula, do what I have to do. And call me by my name, I am ready to roll. Once the rules remain the same, how the story's been told. Call me anytime, never cop out. To see if you can walk the walk you tell. Let me give you my word, my voice must be heard. Bravery is the peace of my heart. Call me by my name, I am ready to roll. Once the rules remain the same, how the story's been told. A lioness is on the rise. Don't ever let no down. When the roll is colder, we'll be standing taller to face the darkest and the hardest of times. We'll be taking care of all the children there are. But if it's required, we'll be on the front line. You can call me by my name, I am ready to roll. Once the rules remain the same, how the story's been told.
Keith Edek, the righteous king, even the king of kings, Kedemal, Haile Selassie, HaKadosh, Baruchu, Baruch Hashem, 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 Hashem.
Ear to my prayer, O God.
Ha'azina Elohim tefillati, tefillati, tefillati.
And hide not thyself from my supplication.
Ve'al tit'allam mit tefinnati.
Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise.
Arid besihi ve'ahima.
Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh that I had wings! Oh that I had wings! 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 That I had. For then would I fly away and be at rest, 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 and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, 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 remain in the. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together, and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. Selah, 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 Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in thee, 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 trust in thee. Trust in thee, trust in thee, trust in thee.
Behind you, try to deny me. What will God do? Study, you know, I got 54 about to fulfill this Shana this semester. Here we're at Key Tape A, 49th sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong. So here, let's go to some Q&A's, the previous for continuity. I like to call it for continuity purposes. You know, here on Discipleship Radio, here on Discipleship Radio and the studies, you know, I'm really going to some of the studies, go to some of the best Q&A's, question and answer, so we can become more familiar with the content in the proper context. So here, we're at the 49th sabbatical study, but here just to review, right, the previous 48th for Shabbat Shoftim. Went through some of the basic points, the points of order, like justice, justice, thou shalt follow. Tzedek, tzedek, terdof. Key
justice,
words, right,
justice, here. Shalt thou follow. Tzedek, tzedek, terdof. Justice, 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 shalt thou follow. Tzedek, tzedek, terdof, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which Yahuwah Eloheka giveth thee. I. Tzedek, tzedek, terdof, litma'ana tichyeh. We ya rashta eta areta asheria walo heka notena lak 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 lak.
Yeah, so here in this sabbatical, the previous Shabbat Shoftim, Sabbath Judges, Sendet Farajoch, we have 72 Q&A's. Now, I think we need to go on a kind of literacy campaign just among our people. I know some things we're like maybe a little ashamed of or whatever, because you know how children are and how people are. A lot of people still are like they were like children, but there's some things that the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, those are some basics. And not to put nobody down, because many times we have to go back to the basics even ourselves, you know, when we come in some difficulty at a certain level of our study. So right here, some of the basic Q&A's going to go through about, let's see, about 18 of them, you know, 18 of them. We have a further breakdown of these 72 Q&A's for Shabbat Shoftim. So let's begin off with the first, Chabarim right here, Shabbat Shoftim, Rastafari sabbatical, table talk reasonment right here with Q&A number one, right, for Parsha Shoftim. What does the word Shoftim mean, Chavarim? Here we pick up with Deuteronomy 16 and 18. Chapter 16, verse 18. Shoftim means judges or magistrates. The plural of Shofet. Shofet. A singular judge, shofet, or some might none say shofet, right? And we have shoftim, plural sense. Generally, judges were esteemed Levites, Levitical, right? Levitical brethren them, right? Or in the context of bringing out, even in the later times, come to our modern times, Torah sages, Torah scholars, scholars of Torah, John's direction, instructions, who were entrusted by the community to discern and interpret Yahuwah Eloheinu Jehovah's Torot, direction, instruction, the Torah overall, the direction, instruction, the various direction, instructions, and to settle disputes for Ha'am, for the people, Ha'am, for Amo, Yisrael, the people of Yasha'ala, the people of Israel. Question number two, RSS, Shoftim, Q&As. What does the word Shoterim, mean, Chavarim? This is also found in Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 16, at verse 18. Now, when we read it from the Hebrew, it says Shoftim and Shoterim. Shoftim, judges and officers, shall thou make in all of thy gates. So what does Shoterim mean? Originally, Shoterim, it referred to overseers, or in the context of like officers, overseers, officers in Mitzrayim, in the mitzvahs, the two mitzvahs, the two lands, in the Semitawi, also known as Tamerian, later on after the 11th dynasty, known as Kemet, in the two lands, a.k.a. in ancient Egypt. Originally, Shoterim were the overseers or officers in Mitzrayim. According to Exodus, Shemot, Sefer Shemot, Book of Exodus, chapter 5, verses 6, verse 10, verses 14 to verse 19. Now, during the years in the Midbar, in the desert, in the wilderness, in the wilderness, the word was applied to the 70 Ziknei Yisrael, to the 70 Zakanim, the elders of Yasharala, the elders of Israel, who shared the weight of governance with Moshe, according to Bamidbar, according to Numbers chapter 11, verse 16, and Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 15. Later on, the Shoterim, they became associated with military, with the Israelite military, the spirituality, what ones may call the religious, right? And the civil officers who enforce HaTorah. So when we study the word Shoterim, we like to say the Shadis, the Shoters, Shoterim. Often we say officers, but in Mitzrayim, the two lands, Maitawi, they were like the overseers, right? And then in the wilderness experience, it applied to the 70 elders of Israel, the Ziknei Yisrael, the Zakanim, the elders of Israel who shared that weight of governance with Moshe. And then later on, this title became associated with the military, the Shoterim, right? The Shadis, the military, the really just, the righteous, the Israelite, you could say the religious cult. You know, yeah, it's that. It's part of the culture, but in the religious spirituality sense, the Shoterim is there. And then also the civil officers coming down to even the monarchical times, this title was used with the civil officers, right? So simply officers, Shoterim. Question number three, who first suggested the idea of a judicial system to Moshe, of a judicial, right? Judicial, Yehuda, Judaic, Yehuda, Judah, a judicial system to Moshe. It was Moshe's chotein. What's a chotein? It's a father-in-law, Yitro, Jethro. In Exodus chapter 18, verses 14 to 26, we have the first suggestion, because in that portion of the Torah, Moshe is staying up, like getting up early, going over to the evening and hearing all the cases, small and big, of Kol Yisrael. He is judging and adjudicating between man and ones, all these cases. And his chotein, his father-in-law, came along and said, Moshe, this is not good. You're going to wear yourself out and you're going to wear the people out. But if you do, and if Yahuwah approves, right, of my suggestion, both you and the people will be able to reach their destination. It was Moses who was taking all this responsibility basically on himself, and Jethro, Zipporah, Zipporah's father, Moses' father-in-law, the priest of Midian, he gave this advice of the ancient shofs, the chefs and the shofs. I say chefs, not in the sense of cooking chefs, but This is kind of a word also that's connected with ancient Tawi, with the Mitzrayim speech, the system of the Shofs. It also kind of relates to some other areas that connects with some ancient Egyptian comedic studies, very interesting as well. But it was the ancient system of, when they said the Hek Shofs, right? It doesn't apply only to one people. Like, for example, when they say immigrants. Today, when people say immigrants, it usually means certain type of people today through the racist latter-day system who are viewed as immigrants. But then if you study American history, you recognize even the people who came over here and did what they did to the natives over here and stole and set up and hijacked and, you know, set up their own system, they originally were immigrants. You see how that works? But anyway, let's go on to question number four right here, Why did Elohim seek to appoint judges, shoftim, and officers, shotarim, throughout all the cities of the land? In Moshe's gospel, the gospel according to Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 18. See, what Moses is given here is after the 40 years, a summary of what happened nearly 40 years ago when he was on the mount, the direct instructions he were given and whatever other reasonings, you know, that he was given, he's now explained to a new generation of Yisrael. Why did Elohim, Ha'elohim, seek to appoint judges and officers throughout all the cities of the land? Well, the welfare, the shalom, the peace, stability of the theocratic state, to say a theocratic state, basically a state that basically is God rule in that sense, the theos in the Greek, but the Elohim, Yahweh Eloheinu state, right? The theocratic state, it requires that Yah's law, his Torah, his direction, instruction was upheld, and transgressors or violators were punished. Now, many of the ancient sages that studied these things, they came to the conclusion and believed that the fortunes or the baraka, barakot, the blessings, the good of Yashar'al, of Yisrael, it depended, even it deep-ended upon the behavior of its shoftim. In other words, that the good of Israel, the good of John's people, it depends on their judges. Who is there to keep the peace, to keep the shalom, and to keep the way, truth, and life? They interpreted, therefore, the sages interpreted the opening verse of the book of Ruth, of the book of Cherut, the book of Ruth. What's the opening verses of the book of Ruth? Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. In the days when the shoftim rule, or in the Hebrew, shofet, shefot ha shoftim, shefot, judging ha shoftim, the judges, or translated as when the judges ruled, shefot ha shoftim, judging, right, the judges. So in other words, in the time when the judges were judging, right, it says there was a famine in the land. In the days when the shoftim, ha-shoftim, the judges, shefot, were judging, there was a famine, a ra'av, right, in the land. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. So the sages took this to mean that the shoftim, that the shoftim themselves were themselves judged. So the judges who were keeping peace and order and right and righteousness, they were ruling at this time, and then there was a famine at this very time that they were ruling. This means that the judges were themselves judged. And therefore, the sages, they came to the conclusion for the reasoning and reading of this, that this is why the famine was decreed upon the land. And then they compare this with the Psalm, Psalm 11 and 3, that reads, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations are destroyed, one interpretation of the Hebrew, I think this is where the King James brings it out, but if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Another reading of that verse in the Hebrew, for knowledge of ancient biblical Hebrew, is that when the foundations are being destroyed, what do the righteous do? So the next level of that interpretation in the Hebrew school of thought, right, is not just that if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, if the foundation of government, of truth and right is destroyed, even the righteous will have a hard time to do anything because that righteous foundation has been destroyed. But at the next level of reading the Hebrew is when the foundations are destroyed, are being destroyed. Those who are righteous, what are you doing? Question number five right here. Who was responsible for appointing Shoftim, the judges, according to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 18. Now, there's a corollary to this. A related aspect is that, like in Psalm 82, where it talks about, it says, I've said ye are gods, all of you are children of the Most High. Well, most people miss. They zoom in on that and say, we're all gods, we're all gods. That's a garbage view of the world. No, the psalm in its proper context was a judgment of the judges. That Psalm 82, the third day, Tuesday evening psalm, was a judgment of the judges. If you read through, right, it says that the Almighty stands in the midst of the Elohim, because the judges were also referred to as a collective based on whose judgment they were supposed to render as being the Elohim. So that's just a corollary there. But who was responsible, question five, for appointing judges? The people, Ha'am, Amo Yisrael, the people of Israel themselves, selected qualified men to serve as Shoftim based on their chassidim, their kind of set apart character, their godly character, one could say, and their abilities. And based on their abilities and their knowledge ability of Torah. Right, of the Torah, their abilities as Torah sages, as scholars of Torah. Later on, this became a function of what we call in the Hebrew the semicha. What is semicha or semicha? Semicha is ordination. Literally, semicha is a laying on of hands. It's kind of interesting because in the sense of this particular word here, it's like that hand sign of His Majesty. You know, the hand sign, some say the Trinity hand sign. That's also the sign that when one made an offering of an animal or a sacrifice, like for a sin, a chet, and they had to pronounce why this substitutional offering is being offered, they would have to lay both hands upon the head of that animal. And the way they would lay it is like the Hebrew letter Samech. Therefore, we have the Semicha. If you look at the ancient Samech, it looks very much like that particular hand sign of His Majesty. Just want to point that out there. But later on, this became a function of the Semicha, the laying on of hands, or what's called ordination from the judicial ruling body. So earlier on, it was the people themselves with a basic and a good knowledge of Torah that would decide in their regions, like in their areas, their neighborhoods, almost like one would elect, you know, a board or something like that, or sheriff, so to speak, right? And you would try to elect one, right, in your neighborhood who you really not just thought, but there was some credibility based on what they did, how they lived, how they, you know what I mean, would be a good judge. But then later on, this became part of the judicial administration with a point basically by ordination, kind of that laying on of hands. This is where that laying on of hands has a non-religious, in that sense, but a functional aspect. It's almost like if I'm saying, like, listen, you know, I have served you for this long, but there is this, you know, brethren or this sistren, and then I put my hand on them while I'm talking about how they will continue this particular work. That's another aspect of laying on of hands, just to get a functional, a practical application to these basic principles. Now, the commandment to appoint judges and officers, right? Titain lecha, to give for you, right? In the Hebrew, this has a sense of like, you're going to do this for yourself. You're going to do this for your own good, right? You're going to appoint judges and officers. So be sure of what kind of persons you appoint with this Elohim-like function. Titain Leka, according to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 18. This implies that no judge or officers were to be regarded as above HaTorah, right? So even the judges and officers that Psalm 82 brings out, they can be judged. That's what it says, I've said all of you are Elohim. That was, according to the Hebrew, the title ascribed to judges, but son, children of the Elyon, of the highest, but y'all shall die like men and fall as one of the princes. In other words, sometimes people in a certain office or role, you know, it will go to their head, so to speak, but their heads are not higher, right, than the Almighty's head or than our mother, HaTorah. My child, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the Torah of thy mother. So they are not to regard themselves as being above HaTorah, but rather to function as the agents of Elohim, thus that link with the title in the Hebrew context of things, with the judges being as a collective, not individually they are gods, but collectively as an order they are gods because they are the agents of Yahuwah Eloheinu to deliver the downpress from the downpressers. And thus, if they had that role and responsibility and did not do that, then woyo. You know, we have to remember, a lot of people say, well, if God is a loving God, why all these things happen? According to the same narratives, there was a choice there, right? It's like people like us wanted to know, right, have that knowledge and experience of knowledge of things told, things beneficial and things unbeneficial. And this is where the rest of the Torah and the scripture applies. Some people think that when it says that the Almighty, he orders in some situation things that are not very seemingly good. But there's a verse in the scripture that says that evil shall slay the wicked. So there's a role for evil, right? What's wrong is when evil doing slay the righteous. And the judges do not take proper action to remedy that situation. Question six right here. How were judges to judge the people? According to the same verse, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 18. So it's one verse. We're breaking down important applications and scriptural contextualities of this. You know, because sometimes people read the English, the King James Version. You know, sometimes these versions can make God seem confused, like a liar. It doesn't really make sense because some things need to be studied so you can know the truth, right? Never think that a translation has the force of the original, but it's just an approximate. And sometimes it's more close to the target, sometimes it's off, right? For our people, come make I and I, you know, study to show ourselves approved. So how were the judges to judge the people? According to the scripts, Mishpat Tzedek, part is judgment and Tzedek is righteous. Mishpat Tzedek, they were to judge the people with righteous judgment. That is according to the principles of Tzedakah. Tzedakah. So we have Tzedek, righteous, and Tzedakah is righteousness. And in the deed of doing within the community, Tzedakah is also the term that we use for charity. I like to bring out the translation for the spirit of the Hebrew as righteous giving. Righteous giving. Since Tzedakah in basic Judaism among Torah observing Yehudim and Israelites, it's charity, it's giving. But as you study the scripture, it also brings out the sense of righteousness. So as an act, it is giving or righteous giving. So once again, they were to judge the people by Mishpat Tzedek, righteous judgment according to the principles of Tzedakah, righteousness. They were to model themselves after the Anshei Chayil, the Anshei Chayil, Chayil, like Chayla, like power, the men of power, the Anshei Chayil, as we have in Proverbs chapter 31. At verse 10, it speaks about the virtuous woman, or in Hebrew, the Eshet, the woman Chaya, Eshet Chaya, the woman of valor, the woman of virtue, the woman of strength. So the judges were to model themselves after the Anshei, Anshei from Anashim. Anashim, as a word in itself, is men. Anshei in the Hebrew is constructive. So it basically means men of. That means it needs a qualifier. Anshei Chayil is the men of Chayil, the men of power, the men of ability. How the word Chayil, like Chayil, we say Haile Selassie, but the word Chayil is also Shemitic, African Shemitic, and Hebrew. In the Hebrew context, that word Chayil, that simply can mean might and power. It also means ability, and it can mean valor and virtue. You know, I say patience is a virtue. The word virtue means a strength. So men of strength, Anshei Chayil. The Anshei Chayil are the ones that Moses chose, like to be the Ziknei Yisrael, Ziknei, elders of. Ziknei, the singular, be elders of. Anybody who know Hebrew, be like Ziknei Ma, Ziknei what, right? The Ziknei Yisrael. In a singular sense, right? Zakanim, Zakanim, the elders of Israel. Now, the term Mishpat from Shafat, right? Mishpat, Mishpat. Mishpat in Hebrew, right, the term Mishpat Tzedek, it implies a verdict, right, that will benefit, right, both parties involved. A Mishpat, a judgment, right, Tzedek, or you could say Zedek, Mishpat Tzedek in plain kind of an English way, more enunciated as Mishpat Tzedek, right, a righteous judgment that would benefit both parties. The wrong party will be given restitution. The one that was wrong will be given restitution. While the guilty, right, the guilty party will be given an opportunity to do teshuvah, to repent, to think different, right, to pay up, to change their mind, to repent, to think different. Question number 7. What three characteristics must a judge, a shofet, right, a danya, a faraj, a judge possess? According to the next verse, Deuteronomy 16:19. What three characteristics, what three midot characteristics? One, they must not be partial, or to say like, they must not show partiality, be partial. They must not be unrighteous. They must not take bribes. Or in the Bible, King James brings that out as gifts, but more in the Hebrew context, it's bribes, right? They must not be unfair, right? Unrighteous. They must not show partiality, non-partial, and they must not take bribes. This implies, of course, that they revere Yahweh Eloheinu, that they revere He who be, who He be, our almighty power, and therefore love Ha'emet, love the Emet, love Ha'emet, love the truth, love the reality, and don't deal with no folly. Question number 8, why are bribes considered a grave offense in matters of justice? And when we say grave offense, in some cases, taking bribes will end one up in the grave, you know, because of how it has perverted justice and affected the lives and well-being of the people. So why are bribes considered a grave offense in matters of Zedek? You know, we say Zedek. We say Melchizedek, Zedek. But what is Zedek? Getting to the root of the matter. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19. Well, a bribe, right, or a gift, right, or expecting to be given something, right, to get something. A bribe is an attempt to persuade someone to judge in one's favor. Now, in the real so-called world, right, or the really real, like outside of just the scriptures and the studies here, we see that many times, right? Sometimes ones, even among people and people, friends and friends. You know your friend is wrong, but your friend hook you up. You don't want to say your friend is wrong, right? Why? Because you get something. You think that if you tell your friend that your friend is wrong, and you also probably know your friend is unrighteous too. Because if you tell your friend is wrong, right? Your friend, you know your friend going to stop hooking you up or giving you something, right? So that means even on a personal level, you've been bribed, right? And that's a grave offense. You know what I mean? That's a grave offense right there. So a bribe is an attempt to persuade someone to judge in one's favor. And therefore, this will pervert the cause of the righteous. That perverts the course of justice, the course of justice, and that perverts the cause of the righteous, the victim, the person who's seeking some restitution, right, for the wrong done to them. Now, the sin, the chet, the lack, the missing the mark, the uckery, the effery of accepting a bribe will actually damage the judge's vision. Would damage the judge's vision. Now, when we say this here, it's not saying, okay, people use glasses or whatever. No, we're not talking about that. But it means that it will pervert how they rule in other cases, how they see other cases. All right? So you have a good judge all this time. They ruled according to HaTorah, right, and what is right and accurate. But then they accepted this bribe in this one case, and they were perverted in the course of justice in that case. If you notice, the cases after that will also show, you know what I mean, that the curse causeless shall not come. That because of that accepting of that bribe and perverting the course of justice, it starts to adversely affect even what formerly was good and righteous judgment. Question number 9. Why is the word justice repeated in the Hebrew of Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 20, tzedek, tzedek terdof. If you notice in the King James Version, it's brought out in another way, you know, of translation. I think it says, that which is altogether righteous, thou shalt follow, something like that, right? That which is altogether, you know, is some weird translation. When we look at the Hebrew, it's much clearer. It says, it repeats the word justice, tzedek, tzedek terdof. Justice, justice, or I'd say righteous, that which is righteous, just, justice, justice, tzedek, tzedek terdof. Terdof, you shall run after, you shall pursue. Even in the context, it might even be brought out as, you know, you shall prosecute it. But the literal sense of terdof is speaking to an individual male. So this statement is speaking to all the justices, all the judges as one man. Just as Yisrael is also spoken to in the 10 words, what's called the 10 commandments, the 10 words, as one man. So it's a corporate. We would interpret this even in light of modern legal jurisprudence and jurisprudence, the science of it, as corporate law. So even here in saying tzedek, tzedek terdof, it's like speaking to one man, but all of the man is being spoken to as one man. So that means if one of our fellow judges does such a thing, this now has an adverse effect on us. And if that one justice does right, then that also has an effect on us. It should encourage us to do right as well. So tzedek, tzedek terdof, you shall pursue. The word is actually to pursue, right? To follow, but in the sense of hot pursuit. The repetition of the word tzedek, that one must pursue, terdof, tzedek, justice, using just means, certainly not through deceptive or underhanded methods. In other words, in the Hebrew context of things, from studying the scripts here and even from the time of the sages, that one cannot even use entrapment, right? That entrapment. Let one entrap themselves. But if we set up a system of entrapment at justices, that right there can be and should be construed, right, as perverting a course of justice and not following the command of justice, justice, right? So using underhand methods, entrapment. We must pursue righteousness righteously. We must pursue righteousness righteously and never use a form of evil, right? Or that which is rara, hurtful, harmful, bad, unkind, or against the clear commandment, right? For a supposed good. You know, I think there's a lot of funny statements they use nowadays. You know, for the greater good. What? You know what I mean? Things like that right there for a supposed good. For example, torture to obtain information in war, according to a clear right understanding and context of Torah, is not tzedek, right? Torture, right, in order to get information. Right? Because you notice what we say about the bribe. Once you go down that way, it kind of takes you more and more off of the way. Right? You go astray from the way. It's like you veer off of the course, and over time, because of the trajectory of that wrong angle, that wrong path you've gone off, you know, can't tell the forest for the trees, so to speak. Question number 9. What was the goal of the Torah? Collectively, the direction instruction for the people, Ha'am, for Amo Yisrael. And why for lack of a better word, a legal code or a code that can be applied in certain instances in what they call legal, right, or lawful way. Well, speaking of HaTorah, right, speaking of the Torah, we find Proverbs chapter 3, verse 17, Chaberim. And speaking of HaTorah, what does it read in the Mishlei Shlomo, in the Proverbs of Solomon? Her ways, huh? Torah? Yeah, she, her. Her ways are ways of pleasantness. And all her paths are shalom, or peace. So speaking of HaTorah, we find Proverbs 3 and 17 that says that her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths, all of Torah's paths, are shalom, are peace, are healthy, are helpful. The goal of HaTorah is the administration of tzedek, of justice, which is a state or a condition of shalom, peace. Without HaTorah, such direction, instruction, there would be anarchy and destruction. In fact, when we speak about from an Israelite perspective, this is one of the reasons why we wandered so far from home and then, you know, got picked up and transported across the Ethiopian Ocean over here to the Americas and the Caribbean, when you really think about it. We was not able to resist nothing. You know what I mean? We couldn't, right? Because that which was, right, her ways, we had forsaken, and we was out of her paths, right? So without HaTorah, there would be anarchy and destruction. Life would be, quote, as it has become, right, for many ones and ones, and what we experience now, short, nasty, and brutish. The Torah, it functions as a restraint. Even to put it in the Hebrew context, the Torah, she functions as a restraint upon the evil inclinations, the Yetzer Hara, right, of depraved or fallen human beings. Therefore, we can compare, even in the Brit Kadasha sense, the New Testament sense, Rabbi Shaul, a.k.a. the Apostle Paul's statements that he has in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, and Romans chapter 5, verse 20, and Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. So here, just looking at the time right here, for continuity purposes, we'd like to go through that. But first, right here, let me get the sword. Yes, sir.
Justice, justice. Shalt thou follow. Tzedek, tzedek tirdofa. Justice, 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 justice. Shalt thou follow. Tzedek, tzedek tirdofa. That thou mayest live and inherit the land which Yahuwah Eloheka giveth thee. I. tzedek tzedek tirdofa litma'ana tichyeh we ya rashta eta areta asheria waloheka notena lak.
Okay, so right here, because sometimes we'll point out certain references, and for a diligent disciple, you know, to really just know what is being said here and have a better opportunity, you know, to know the truth for yourself, it's often good to go to the verses and the links, although sometimes, you know, that might take a little more time, but it's good for the heart and the mind. So the first epistle of Paul, the apostle to Timothy, his disciple, right? Here we have chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, all right? The 9 to 11, right? Actually, let's go from verse 8. We're going to include verse 8, where it says, but we know that the law, HaTorah, is good, Tobah. If, that's the key right there, right? If, it's a big thing right there, two letters, but a big word. If a man use it lawfully, but I, we know, not believe, not guess, not hope, but we know that HaTorah is good, Tobah. If a man use it lawfully, verse 9, knowing this, that HaTorah, the Torah is not made for a righteous man, because a righteous man, right, would already be in a perfection alignment with those 10 words. But knowing this, that HaTorah is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless, the Torahless, and disobedient, for the ungodly, and for sinners, for uckers, for unholy and profane, for murderers, of fathers and mothers, and murderers of mothers, for men, manslayers. You know what's interesting? You hear some black folks talk about, we grew up on the Bible, we was in the Bible all this time, and we love Jesus and everything. Yeah. But we're talking about Torah. You know what I'm saying? And ones will think like, well, this is the reason why, I've heard some people say this is the reason why the black community is so messed up. Really? Really, it's because of this. It seems like the more we go away from even a basic knowledgeability, as some of our ancestors really fought the fight, you know, to even get us to this present stage right now where we have victory. Victory is here, but we don't see it because we've lost something. I see more of these things being done more so now. Remember one time we used to say when we hear about a crime on TV, on the news, oh, upcoming, a terrible rape, murder, double homicide, killing, all this kind of crazy. And we'd be like, many times we knew it wasn't a black person, you know, one of the lost sheep, but we kind of knew it wasn't one of our people. But some of y'all might not be old enough to know that, you know, so study even the history, even of your parents or grandparents. But it's interesting that we see these things, and at one time, it was a rare thing, one or two. It was like the exception to the rule in the so-called black and brown community. Why is it seeming like this is becoming the rule, right? The lawless, disobedient, the ungodly, the uckers, right? The unholy and profane, right? The murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind. You should know what that's talking about, like the sodomite agenda, right? For men stealers, right? What they did to our ancestors. For liars, how they lied on who we are and our Savior. For perjured persons. And if there be any other thing, any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, just to bring out what sound doctrine, healthy teaching. Sound doctrine in the proper context is healthy, right? Healthy teaching. So this is like the connection here, even a new covenant to answer this question, what was the goal of the law for the people and why then a legal code? The Torah functioned as a restraint upon the evil inclinations of depraved and fallen human beings. And then we're looking at Paul's statements in 1 Timothy chapter 1, the main part, 9 to 11, and then they have Romans 5 and 20. Let's just go to Romans 5 and 20. Romans 5 and 20, it says this right here. It says, moreover, HaTorah, the law, entered that the offense might abound. Yeah, I don't know if you get this. It's saying, just according to what the Bible is saying, it's saying that the law, Torah, entered, right? It entered the equation of human beings. And we could say even here with the Israelites and the wilderness and the direction instructions, for what reason? That the offense might abound, that the offense might increase. I know that seems to be kind of opposite of what people thought, right? But let's go on. But where sin, uckery, lack abounded, it says here, grace did much more abound. All right? Now, of course, there's a very good reasoning on this. We're just putting this on the beamer right here for us to reason on. Write down your questions or, you know, well, if this is so, why would the Torah enter so that the uckery would increase? You don't get it? Okay, let's put it in reality or in a way that you might get it. You notice when you tell somebody don't do something, it seems like they do that even more, right? Before you said don't do it, they were already maybe doing it a little bit. As soon as you say, okay, stop doing it, don't. It's some people will do it more. So that's what it's saying right there, bringing out that principle in reality in Romans 5 and 20. Now, Galatians 3 and 19, let's go to Galatians 3 and 19. Of course, there's more reasoning on it, but this is a basic point of order. The true intent of HaTorah, of the Torah, is condemnation as a preparatory discipline, right? A preparatory discipline. Verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? Wherefore then serveth the Torah? How does it serve? It was added because of transgression. In other words, it's almost like people doing something and you tell them don't, and then you have to write it down. You know, when people make like signs, they put signs, don't litter, don't loiter, such and such. You know what I mean? This is the same principle. It was added because of transgressions. Till when? Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Because there's also our promises, right, that are made. Of peace, of blessedness, of fruitful land and all this. But until that seed, right, should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels, by messengers, in the hand of a mediator. In the hand of a mediator. Now, it's interesting because Moshe, he became the mediator for Israel, not because he put himself there. He said, come into the thick darkness with me where Elohim is, right? And you can speak and reason with him as I speak and reason with him. But they were afraid when they heard his voice. So the people said, it's like somebody said, you know what? Can you talk to this person for me? I don't want to, you know, every time I hear them or they speak to me, I'm afraid. What? Can you speak to them for me? That's what happened. And then we have now Yeshua, in the new covenant sense of being that mediator, you know, that prophet likened unto Moshe, right? Question 11, why did Elohim, Elohim, prohibit trees? Why did he prohibit trees from being planted near the Mizbeach? Now, he did not forbid trees, but he forbid it that trees be planted, right? Trees being planted near HaMizbeach, near the altar, the communal altar in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 21. Well, firstly, trees were planted in and around the temples of other nations that they might call pagan temples of, you know, other people, other nationalities. They did plant trees in and around their temples. And Elohim, the almighty power, wanted and sought no association to be made with those customs because he was bringing out the people, right? And he's like almost like marinating a people here, right? This particular people, choosing this descendancy of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, right? Now, what's interesting is that in previous generations, Abraham planted the grove, right? In his time, 400 plus years before that, we have Isaac, right, doing some of these things, and even Jacob. But they were doing this to Yahuwah, right? But these customs became more associated with other people. Remember, the Israelites are coming out of Egypt. So this is to distinguish that you can plant, you can have all the trees you want. You can have gardens, but don't have this near the communal altar like the other nations. Secondarily, trees were planted simply to make the shrines of other nations and even just shrines in general more attractive. It's like you go into a cemetery and you see a lot of flowers there. The reason why people will bring flowers, to make it beautiful, right? More attractive. And the juxtaposition of this commandment with the qualities required of judges, right? The previous verse that we have here in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 21, and the previous verse in Deuteronomy 16, 20, we have a juxtaposition of these two verses, right? The qualities required of judges, and don't follow after the customs of the other nations. This is taken as a warning to not appoint shoftim, judges, right? Or the more earthly type of Elohim, judges, based on the external characteristics, right? Such as looks good. It looks good. Oh, that makes me feel nice, right? You know, any of that status. Oh, that must be high quality. Not to judge it based on appearances, in other words. Question number 12. Were the so-called sacred pillars, so it's about groves on the one hand, and then it talks about, I think in the King James Version, they say something like, right, the King James Version says something like images, right? But the correct sense is sacred pillars, like obelisk or stelas, right? Were the sacred pillars, the obelisk or stelas, always forbidden to Jah people, to the Israelite people, or the people, even ancestors of Israel, according to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 22? No. These sacred pillars, so even amongst the Hebrews and the Israelites, there was one time that we raised up, we erected these pillars, these type of obelisks. We have this within the time of Yaakov and Jacob, right? So they were not always, right, forbidden. Before HaTorah, or the Torah of Moses on Mount Sinai, was given to Yasharala, to Yisrael, Jacob had erected a matzavah. What's a matzavah, right? A matzavah is a pillar. Where did he do this? At Beit El. He erected it and said, this is, you know, to El Beit El, to the Almighty House of the Almighty. He erected a matzavah, right, or matzavah, right? After his dream, his cholem, in Bereshit, in Genesis chapter 28, verse 18. And later, note this here, later Moshe, Rabbeinu, Moshe, Ish Ha Elohim, the man of the Elohim, he did what? He set up 12 pillars, 12 stelas, 12 obelisks for the 12 tribes at Sinai, in Exodus 24 and 4. Now, one reasoning is this, that some of these things might not have been forbidden to them should they not have gone back to their vomit, gone back to the molten calf incident. Once they had broke that commandment, you know, once they broke that right there, it basically was like, you know, I was about to, you know, like you got a child and you're about to give them more freedom and everything because, you know, I think they're doing pretty well. You're pretty pleased with them. And then they do some wild stuff that they said they would not do. You know, and you'd be like, okay, you know what? I'm going to have to take back your privileges now. You know, and I have to keep an eye on you because I don't know what you're going to do. So this is one of the cases here of a reasoning, because someone said, well, he did the 12 pillars then. But remember, this is before that uckery that almost got them destroyed, right, in chapter, what was that, 30, the chapter 32 of Exodus with the molten calf. Now, the practice was forbidden after the sin, the uckery, the effery of the Egel Maseka. So when they did the Egel Maseka, what's the Egel Maseka? The molten calf. No such thing as golden calf in the Hebrew sense. It had a little bit of gold, but you don't judge things by appearance, right? They did give gold. You know what I mean? That was a part of their sacrificial offering, because this is what they used to do when they was in the two lands. So when Moses took a long time, they said, let's return to our vomit, the thing that we spit out and say we're not going to do, we're going to change our mind. So this also shows that they had free will, because some people have this idiotic idea that they don't have free will, right? Now, it is true that everybody's free will is not the same. If you start giving your will over to others, the more you give it over to others, the less you probably have for yourself. But be that as it may, note that the sages associate like a sacred pillar. The ancient sages, the Hebrew and even the later Judaic sages and many of our own sages, right, of our own ethnic, you know, ethnic Israel, they associated the stellas, the obelisk, right, were associated within the Hebrew and the Israelite thought with a sinful judge, right? He's bigging up himself. Look at, he raised up a pillar to, and something that Ha'el, the Almighty, hates. Couple more questions here. We say only 18 we're going to get through right here, right? At least for this sitting right here. Question 13. Why is HaTorah against offering a blemished sacrifice mentioned in connection with the appointment of judges? So as it is written, we have the Torah, right? This direction, instruction against offering a blemished sacrifice. A sacrifice that had a blemish, you know what I mean, of some kind. In other words, if it's an animal, the animal was not as most animals of its kind should be. It had something more or had something less, right? Why is this mentioned in connection with the appointment of shoftim, of judges? Or in a sense, the true sense of Psalm 82, the appointment of the earthly Elohim, right? According to Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 1. Well, a blemished sacrifice is thought to represent a defective judge. So in other words, if you offer the offering and you're offering a lamb, but it has three legs instead of four, two heads instead of one, or, you know, or missing an ear or missing some part, that was likened to a defective judge, right? This is a to'eba. In the Hebrew, to'eba, this is disgusting, right? An abomination. Lifnei Yahuwah, before Jehovah, even if an animal with a defect is worth a great deal of kesef. Kesef is silver, or we could say today money. It is forbidden to be sacrificed. Whereas an animal that is inexpensive, not of a high value, but doesn't have any defect, it is created in the very order, right? It's according to the order of creation. It is acceptable for her mizbeah. Likewise, right, the contrast of the offering and the type of judge. Likewise, a wealthy shofet, a wealthy judge who is unqualified is not acceptable. While we may have a poor man, right, he's poorer than this wealthy man who want to be our judge, it would be better to have that poor man who knows Torah and based on acts that we can testify to has a lot of credibility, faithfulness. We can give a good credit. While that rich man who want to be a judge, but he's unrighteous, he is totally incredible. He is not credible. He is not credit worthy. Question number 14. What is the penalty for engaging in personal idolatry, right? Or personal idolatry, but to bring it more forward to the spiritual revelation principles of today, this idolatry is also some of these strange ideologies, personal ideology. People say, well, yes, I'm this, but like personally, I see it this way. And it's clear that they see it opposite than our namesake. Eh? That's personal idolatry. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 2 to 7. What is the penalty? Right. Well, a person proven guilty of engaging in personal idolatry. Because see what goes on today is a mind of mine only have to say a thing is so. Right. And get a lot of likes and hits on the video or whatever. And he's speaking about next man and nobody's investigating. Nobody's really seeing it. They say, well, yeah, they believe it. And then they act on it. That's not the way justice should be pursued. But a person should be proven guilty of engaging in personal idolatry. Right. Or ideology. You know, idolatry, based on the testimony of two or more witnesses. That means that two or more people have to testify that they have seen and know this to be true. And if it's investigated as so, there's a judgment. If it's investigated, these witnesses lie, there's a judgment, whatever that person would have been judged for, they must face it, right? Two or three witnesses was to be, according to this, the death penalty of stoning. Like we talked about the five types of death penalty, at least in the ancient world and particularly among the Hebrews. There was stoning is one of them, right? Stoning, right? There's strangulation, there's burning, right? There's a sword, and then there's hanging, right? So according to this crime, the punishment that we find in HaTorah for one engaging, proven guilty of engaging in a personal idolatry based on the testimony of two or more witnesses was to be publicly stoned to death. The accusing witnesses, get this, the accusing witnesses were required to be the ones who began the execution of the offender. Now note that some of the sages say that the person should be stoned at the place where the idolatry, you know, was committed, right? Where it says in the script, out to your gates, to demonstrate how the idol would not save him from execution. Okay, you worship this thing that you made with your own hands. All right, take them in front of it. Call on it. See if it can stop these stones. Now, of course, a lot of people say, oh, that's so cruel. Well, yes, it was, right? But the reality of this world and human life is cruel, right? Whether we see it in the Torah or we see it outside the Torah gives a regulation, right, for that, as we already touched on that in the earlier question number 10. All right, y'all, got 90 seconds, 90 seconds. Yes, 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 yes. So right here, 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 right, we have four more. Is astrology a form of idolatry? According to Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 3, yes. Many say yes, right? Elohim, Ha'elohim, Yah never commanded the sun, the moon, or the constellation to function other than to mark times and seasons. So knowledge of the heavens is important, right? But some superstitious kind of that, you know, it tells you your fate and you're locked into that. That's another God, right? But he never commanded, right, the sun, the moon, or constellation to function other than to mark times and seasons and days and years for the acceptable times of worship as well of him, of Yahuwah Eloheinu. Question 16. Now, of course, I know this is a very, you have to understand what is meant by astrology. Astronomy and the knowledge of these things, the practice of it. It can be very, you know, superstitious on a certain level. I mean, I know people when they're astrology say, hey, you shouldn't do this or that, whatever else like that. You know, they would not do that. And sometimes they was not even reading their own astrology. Think about that. Question 16, why was the testimony of a single witness, insufficient to establish the truth? Ha Emmet, the Emmet, the name of one of our people, one of that youth, Emmet means truth. So why was the testimony of a single witness insufficient to establish Ha Emmet about a legal matter? This is kind of interesting right here, even with the youth named Emmet Till, just bringing out the sense that Emmet, this is kind of very interesting because Emmet, his name was Emmet, and yet that's not a name that's found so much, you know, as a word in the Bible, you know what I'm saying? But that word right there is Hebrew and it means truth. But the single witness is insufficient to establish the truth. Why is that? Well, to warn us against judging a person based on circumstantial evidence. I know people think, oh, this is a modern law thing. No, it's actually ancient law. And even among the Gentiles, the Anglo-Americans, it was common law. Because it's from the Bible and diligent study of the Bible that some of the better aspects of the law was applied to situations, you know, within even England and then coming to America. There are good principles there. It's the practice and the malpractice that is bad. So this was to warn us against judging a person based on circumstantial evidence. The testimony of at least two witnesses was required, both of whom were required to independently testify. You know, not like two people, each one backing up each other. Now, they might have seen it together, but then sometimes we have to look at that combined witness, you know, since they more or less are saying the same thing and saying they were there together, we might count that as one witness. You know what I mean? Insufficient for these reasons, because at least two witnesses or two testimonies. In other words, you can always have a witness, a person testifying to something, and then maybe a document. You know, or even today, there might be audio or visual, right? If it's proven that it was not doctored, that might be now the testimony that provides, you know, witness and testimony is two sides of the coin. A witness is usually a person. And in this sense, when it's talking about witness, it's a person. But in the direct context, it's some sort of a testimony, independent testimony, right? And the reason for this, right, and both of them to be independently testifying, and also to be separately cross-examined. A witness can be crossed and must be put on the cross. They must be cross-examined, right? For a conviction to be made. Now, this is according to the theory, right, of Torah. Remember, this is in the hands of men and people, right? And sometimes men and people, right, do opposite of what they are instructed or commanded to do. It's a feature, right, of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Question 17, why did the responsibility of beginning an execution fall to the accusing witnesses, according to what we have in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 7? Well, this is to remind them that while it is easy, right, it's easy to accuse someone, their involvement in the case would not end with their mere testimony. You know, like nowadays, people just be talking all kind of stuff, doxing people, doing all kind of things to people, and then they could be in the wind. Nobody's coming to cross-examine them, right, or check on them, and even if they're wrong, right, they can go on and accuse somebody else and mess up somebody else's life with false accusation, right? But in the context of Torah right here, it's to say that if you accuse someone, right, you're involved, right, in this case. It does not end if you just say, I just saw, say what I saw. Don't come to me for no. In the community, right, because this is Torah best works in community. While a lot of confusion, you have a lot of, you know, we can't really fully apply it in some of these conditions here, but we can apply it more to a personal, right, righteousness and you know what I mean, limited of those of us who acknowledge this. But ideally, we have to look at this as community, right, in a community. That's often what is kept out of it and left, that there's a community sense, right, not like people do today in a pseudo-religious sense. That's why some of these areas, when we talk about, well, they had to participate in the execution, if the person is found guilty, or if they had lied, they would receive the execution, right? And who you think probably would do the stoning then? Knowing that they would be required to, quote, first cast a stone. So when Yeshua HaNotri, when Jesus of Nazareth, our rabbi, Robeinu, the rabbi of rabbis, when he said that, what people don't recognize is that he was saying in the context of Torah studies. When we start to study ancient Hebraic and Judaic reasonings, even before the Common Era and you know, the first century, we find that this principle and this statement was even used prior to when Yeshua said this. What he was saying there, it basically hearkened to what we are studying here. So he said to those men who had accused the woman, right, the woman caught in adultery, first of all, it was a bad case to start out with. That's why he was writing their names in the earth. You know what I mean? That's why Yeshua was down on the ground writing. He was writing their names, as the verse in the scripture says, writing their names in the earth. So almost like, this is your spot here. This is for you right here. The earth received these ones here, because he already knew it was a false accusation and it's an improper,
you know, prosecution, even if she was committing adultery, why was it only she? What was she doing it by herself? You know, so when he said, right, he was without sin, and that sin was not a general sin, right? In the Hebrew context, it's in this case that we're speaking of. Right. So when we see about this kind of a case, it's not all the kind of case unless it has some relevance with helping us render a just decision in this case. Because some people have reason that that they couldn't have done no sin ever in their life. No, it's not talking about that. Yeshua was talking about he already knew these men were filth, were garbage. You know what I mean? He already knew what kind of men they were. First of all, they brought the woman accused, right? She was caught in the act of adultery. Adultery is a crime for how many? At least two, right? So the case was already bogus. That's why he says, first cast a stone or cast the first stone. Depends on which translator you want to believe, right? First cast a stone or cast the first stone, right? Should make them extremely careful. Take care, caution. He was cautioning them, right? As any good shofet judge would do. When you recognize somebody has brought a bogus, a barbed wire act, cloak and dagger, barbed wire situation to a judge, you have to warn them, right? You have to give them fair warning, right? To make them extremely careful that their testimony and their accusation did not cause the stone or stones to fall on them. That's why when Yeshua, after he got finished writing down their names in the earth, he looked up and they were gone. You know, and he asked the woman, you know, where are your accusers? And then he said to her, well, neither do I accuse you. He could have, but he would be wrong like them, because how could she commit adultery by herself? Was one of them her husband? Right? What it basically brought out is that they all were involved in some, put it lightly, shenanigans. Right? They all deserve stones. Right? You know, if a woman deserves stones, they all deserve stones, right? That's why he said, cast the first stone. And that's why they dropped their stones and walked off. He was like, they was probably like, how does he know? Truth knows. Question number 18, Chaberim. What was the penalty of Edim Zomemim? Zomemim. Edim Zomemim. What is Edim Zomemim? Edim Zomamim is Edim Zomamim. What is Edim Zomamim? Edim Zomamim is false witnesses. What was the penalty? We already just touched on that, but just here, right? They are to be punished by receiving the very sentence, right, that their victim was to receive. You can refer to Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 16 to 19. Now note that a conspiracy to perjure must be proven for each false witness before this sentence can be given. In other words, a conspiracy, right? Like a person may have got something wrong. That's just something wrong. But if this is a conspiracy, if these witnesses have colluded, there's an interesting testimony that's in the Kever Neges, the Queen of Sheba and her son Menelik. And it speaks about false witnesses too, because this is when Menelik, the son of King Solomon and the Queen of the South, right, had returned with the 1,000 sons of Israel from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. The first thing they declared in Makeda's kingdom, right, was the 10 words and then the levity or the dietary code. But then we get a case of false witnesses that come up in the Kever Neges narrative. Why I'm mentioning that is because it mirrors, right, the Torah, these areas of the Torah. And why is that important? Because only we Hebrews or Yehudim really study these things like that. So it also gives a lot of backative, right, to that Solomonic, that Judaic, right, that Hebraic connection that certain Ethiopians, right, of and related to that lineage and that holy order that Haile Selassie I represents, right, that the Queen of Sheba and the King Solomon, that Kever Neges, the way it's ordered and the way those chapters come out,
from Torah studies, and anyone who has studied Torah and are familiar with that will automatically make that link. That's why we have our brother Ephraim right here, Right? We may have just one more question, just as a overflow question, you know, so that when we pick up with the rest of them, right here, Ephraim, you.
I would like to read a paragraph from my introduction, which says, "Some might ask why a Jewish person should write a book about the Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church. From my first year at Harvard University, when I became the first Ethiopian student of the famous Divinity School, studying comparative religions, I began to realize that the Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church is the most Jewish of all Christian churches.
Yes, yes, yes. That's Dr. Ephraim Yitzhak right there. That's an audible clip that we have. Ethiopian Orthodox Tewahedo Church is the most Jewish of all Christian churches. Now, when he says a Jewish person, he's a Beta Israel, right, and connected with the Israelites, the Ethiopian Hebrews of Ethiopia right there. Now, I know someone's about Jewish, and it's not really Jewish, it's Judah, and so forth and so on. Yeah, okay, we get that. But the point that's being made, right, is that there are a lot of Judaic, anyone who is Hebraic or Judaic and Torah observant would immediately begin to recognize these patterns. And that means that like non-Torah studiers and non-Judaic ones really don't see those patterns here. Right, and it might think that Ethiopia's claims are outstanding or outrageous, but anyone who really has studied it from a Torah, from a Hebrew or Judaic perspective, basically begins to recognize some of these telltale signs, which gives a lot of credibility and credence to it. Right, so I like to say that just on the record right there, because most ones who are commenting on it is coming from like a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant or Western Gentile Christian mentality, you know, which has a lot of bias against, you know, Jews, black, and also white. But question 19, as the last one right here, I know 18, 19, this would be like the overflow. What is a Beit Din? What is a Beit Din? Right? A Beit, Beit means house and Din means judgment. So can you answer that? What is a Beit Din? A Beit Din is often said in some circles to be a religious court, but the phraseology, the wordology, Beit House Din, House of Judgment, that consisted of three judges, three judges. If you notice in some other systems, even in ancient previous times, sometimes when they had a court case, whether you read about it in the book or see it in the movie or something like that, you'll notice that in, even in England, and I noticed this in Imperial Ethiopia, usually they had three judges, right? There were like three judges to decide many cases. And this also is another very interesting Judaic, Hebraic aspect right here, also the Hebrew Trinity aspect of these three judges, and those three judges in session is like regarded as the Elohim. That's why Psalm 82 connection is with the judges of Israel. So a Beit Din is a house of judgment, or some would say a religious court, that consisted of three judges selected by a greater Sanhedrin. Now, what is a Sanhedrin? This is a term that comes down from the scriptures and connected with, it's a great assembly, right? Three were required to resolve a stalemate between two verdicts. The principle here, the legal judicial principle and judicial and Judaic principle is that three, a trinity or three were required to resolve a stalemate between two verdicts. Each town with a population of less than 120. So any town or area that had a Hebrew or a covenant population of John people of less than 120 required a house of judgment, a Beit Din. However, if the town did not have qualified ones and ones, a qualified shoftim or judges, a court is forbidden there. If they didn't have qualified one, that's why sometimes there was a case, and in this era, they didn't have qualified judges. They had to be taken to another court. It's forbidden there, and cases must be immediately escalated. right? So the escalation usually in the time of the monarchy and the United Kingdom especially would be towards Jerusalem, right? Or would be towards the king's, like the king's house and towards Jerusalem for a settlement, you know, in a court case that needed escalation, right? The general requirements for members of a Beit Din, they are given in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 13, and in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. So here, brothers and sisters and brothers, just some of the basic Q&As, you know, and we really look forward to being able to open up the platform, you know, among the Chabarim, because sometimes we still communicate certain questions and reasonings, but we'd like to bring some of that forward, you know, for our fellows, for our brothers and sisters. But here, we have a psalm, we touched on it briefly in the intro, you know, today's daily psalm according to royal order, after the order of Melchizedek. We have Psalm 55, and it's often themed, even here, reasons for the season, right, with treachery denounced. Here, today's daily psalm, according to the royal order. Yes, sir. Rastafari. Psalm 55, Blood City Version. It's a Dennis, Prince of Baker, the Great.
Psalm 55.
Mizmor Nun He. Lam Natseah Binginot Maskil David.
Give ear to my prayer, O God. And hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise.
Arid besichi ve'ahima.
Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh that I had wings, oh that I had dull, 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 that I had. For then would I fly away and be at rest, 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 and be at rest. Then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, and remain in the wilderness, 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 remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. Selah, 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 Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in thee, 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 trust in thee.
Woe be unto the bloody city that is filled with liars, robbers, and thieves. Woe be unto the bloody city that's filled with liars, robbers, and thieves. Depart from evil and do good.
The Bible condones the RAPE,
or what they like to say great, because they say on YouTube, say, you know, they flag different things and algorithms. But here is actually the part of the scripture, the Torah, right, that they are looking at, you know, just drawing from these verses. So let's ride up right here, the first and second Aliyot, and hopefully we'll have a brief midrash on this interesting psalm, Psalm 55. But right here,
sabbatical study, this Ayinai Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong.
Shabbat strong.
Shem Av v'Habein Ruach HaKadosh. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Glory be. Glory be. We're going to ride up, right up here for this. And hear, Shema Yisrael. Hear, get here. Hear for Parsha Ki Peitzei. For this Shabbat Ki Peitzei, Sabbath, when thou goest forth. Hear. Picking up with the fifth book of Moshe, the Hebrew book that's called Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 21. Here at verse 10, for the Rishon, Aliyah. For the first reading, the first offering up offering here for this Mem Tate, Parsha, for this 49th Rastafari sabbatical studies, and here for this Shabbat strong. The Hebrew first words and the Rishon Aliyah, the first reading, the first up offering. Give ear. Domestic regulations. Veshem Ha'av Wehabain Weh Ruacha Kadosh Yahuwah Echad. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, he who be, we be, the one. Shema Yisrael. Give ear. Hebrew first words. Ki Teitzei La Milchama Al Oibeka Un Natano Yahuwah Eloheka Beyadeka Weh Shabita Shibyo. When thou goest forth To war. Ki Teitzei La Milchama, against thine enemies, Al Oibeka, and Yahweh Eloheka, and Jehovah, the I Elohim, hath delivered them into thine hands, Unatano Yahweh Eloheka, B'yadeka, and thou hast taken them captive, with Shavita Shibyo. And seest among the captives a beautiful woman, and hast a desire to her, that thou wouldest have her to thy wife, thy Isha. Then thou shalt bring her home to thine house, to Beiteka, and she shall shave her head, and pierce her nails. And she shall put the raiment of her captivity from off her, and shall remain in Beiteka, in the I Beit, in the I house, and bewail her father and her mother a full month, a full moon. And after that thou shalt go in to her, and be her husband, and she shall be thy wife. And it shall be, if thou hast no delight in her, then thou shalt let her go whither, where she will. But thou shalt not sell her at all for money. Thou shalt not make merchandise of her, because thou hast humbled her. If a man have two wives, one beloved and another hated, and they have borne him children, sons, both the beloved and the hated, and if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be, when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn, but he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he has. For he is the beginning of his strength, the right of the firstborn is his. A prodigal son under law, under Torah, direction, instruction. Compare and contrast Luke's gospel. Kedus Lukas Wengel, chapter 15, verses 11-23. Hear, Shema Yisrael, give ear. A prodigal son under Torah, verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, when they have disciplined him, will not hearken to them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out to the elders of his city and to the gate of his place. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. And all Israel, call Israel. And all Israel shall hear and fear and respect. Reverence. And hear. Shema Yisrael, give ear, O Yisrael, hear for the Sheni Aliyah, the second reading, the second up offering up here for this Parsha, Ki Teitzei, for this Shabbat, Ki Teitzei, Sabbath when thou goest forth. Hear the Sheni Aliyah, hear. Deuteronomy chapter 21, here at verse 22, for the Sheni, the second reading. Wiki yihye be isha chete mishpat amalet we hu mat we ta lita oto al eit. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, wiki yihye be isha chete mishpat amalet, and he be to be put to death, we humata we talita oto al ait, and thou hang him on a tree. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of Elohim, and that thy land be not defiled, which Yahweh Eloheka Jehovah, the I Elohim, giveth thee I for an inheritance. And here, Deuteronomy chapter 22, the law, HaTorah, the direction, the instruction of brotherhood. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray, and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them again to Achikah, to Wendemeh, to thy brother. And if thy brother, thy brother, be not nigh, near to the eye, or if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring it to thine own house, and it shall be with thee, I, until Achikah, until thy brother Wendemeh seek after it, and thou shalt restore it to him again. In like manner shalt thou do with his ass, and so shalt thou do with his raiment, and with all lost thing of thy brothers, which he hath lost, and thou hast found, shalt thou do likewise. Thou mayest not hide thyself. Thou shalt not see Achikah, thy brother's ass or his ox, fall down by the way, and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination, la Yahweh Eloheka, to Jehovah the I Elohim. If a bird's nest chance to be before thee in the way, in any tree, or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam, the mother, sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam, the mother, with the young, but thou shalt in any wise let the dam, the dam, the mother, go, and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
Adonai Echad. Adonai Echad. Adonai Echad. Adonai
Shalom Shabbarim. Here we have today's daily song. We have song.
Oh, yechetz uwa yemehem. Wani ebetach. 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 Ebetach.
Mizmor Nun, hey, Mizmor Non, hey.
Of David Gavi, Lamanatria,
O Elohim,
true good, true God.
These words are to be read for the leader, for the light, the illumination, what scripture says elsewhere, even in Proverbs, Mashal, Proverbs 10 and 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh securely. He that trotteth uprightly trotteth securely. He that walketh uprightly, he that trotteth uprightly is David, of whom it is said, Mizmor Nun, hey, Mizmor Nun, hey, Lamanatseach, Bia Niginota, Masakila Lit David, for the leader, for the chief musician, with string music, Lamanatseach, Bia Niginot, Binginot, Maskil lit David, a maskil of David. Hazina Elohim, tefilatia, we'ala tita alama, nita hinati. Give ear, O Elohim, to my prayer, and hide not thyself. Hide not thyself from my supplication. We'ala tita alama, nita hinati. Midrash, a midrash on Psalm non hey. Nun hey, Psalm 55. The psalm is themed treachery, treachery denounce. The opening two verses, including the superscription Hebraically, Lamanatseach, Bia Niginota Maskil Dawit, Hazina Elohim Atifilatia, Wa Alatita Alama Mita Chinati. For the leader with string music, a maskil of David, give ear to my prayer, O Elohim, true good, true God. These words are to be read in the light, the illumination, what scripture says elsewhere, even in Proverbs, Mashal, Proverbs 10 and 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh securely. He that trotteth uprightly trotteth securely. He that walketh uprightly, he that trotteth uprightly is David, of whom it is said, even in Psalm 41:13, and as for me, as for I, thou upholdest I because of mine uprightness. And in Mashal, in Proverbs 10 and 9, but he that perverteth his ways shall be found out, refers to Achitophel, and teaches you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be he, does not make a man pay for his iniquities until he makes his deeds known to men. As it is said even in Mashal, Mashalim, in Proverbs 26 and 26, where it reads, though his hatred cover itself with guile, his wickedness, his wretchedness shall be openly showed before the assembly. Rav Yehuda bar Yitzchak, Rav Judah bar Isaac taught, David had no greater friend than Achitophel, whom David made chief of his prosecutors, and who was his counselor in all affairs. As it is said even in 1 Chronicles 27:33, Achitophel was the king's counselor. When David heard that Achitophel was with Absalom, among the conspirators, according to 2 Samuel 15:31, it reads, David said, Yahweh Adonai, I pray that I turn the counsel of Achitophel into foolishness. Rav Nachman taught David was not afraid of any man except Achitophel. Hence here, David said, give ear, O Elohim, to my prayer, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend to me, attend to I, and answer I. Ha'azina Elohim tifilati, we'alatita alama mita chinati.
Why did he say this? Why did he say this? Next verse of today's daily psalm, where it reads, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression, because of the downpression of the wicked, because of the downpression of the wretched. Mikol oyeva, mipnei akata rasha'a, kia ya mito alayavin. O be'afa yisat emunat 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 emunat. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, the Isle One, blessed be He, asked David, according to the words, of Psalm 27, verse 3. Hast thou not said, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear? Did not the eye say so? David answered, Ribon Shella Olami, Master of the Universe, give me such enemies of whom I can say, as I've said in Psalm 18:38, I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn back until they were consumed. And David went on to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Holy, the Isle One, blessed be He, this Achitophel is not one of such enemies, for they are of the nations, the Goyim, the Gentiles of the earth. He is my own kind. And David said further, according to the words of today's daily psalm, for it was not an enemy that taunted me, then I could have borne it. Ki lo yev ye harfeni with Esa. For it was not an enemy that taunted me. Ki lo yev ye harfeni. Then I could have borne it with Esa. Indeed, he was a great man, for I addressed him in this way, even according to the words of today's daily psalm. But it was thou, the I, a man according to my order, my guide, and my familiar friend. Ve'ata enosh ke'erki. Alufi ua me yudai, but it was thou, the I, wa'ata, a man, mine equal, enosha ke'erki, my companion, alufi, and my familiar friend, ua me yudai. What is meant by the words, according to my order, my equal, according to my order, enosh ke'erki, what is meant by according to my order? According to Rav Yehoshua ben Lewi, Joshua ben Levi, David meant Achitophel was my orderer. That is to say, it was he who arranged laws in their proper order. By the words, my guide. By the words, my guide. My guide, my guide, my guide. By the words, Alufi, 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 my guide. What is meant? David meant Achitophel was my master, Revi, who taught me, taught I in Torah. For the next verse says, according to today's daily psalm, we took sweet counsel together. We took sweet counsel together. Asher Yachdal Namatik Asod. Asher Yachdal Namtik Asod. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in Regesh. In Regesh. In the house of God, we walked with the throng. Bebeit Elohim Nehaleka Be Ragesh, the Ragesh. What other context gives us the meaning of Regesh, Ragesh? We are taught in a Mishnah that the daily offering was to be slaughtered by 12 Kohanim, 12 priests, and the bullock by 24 Kohanim, 24 priests, that four times daily all the Kohanim were to assemble together in the court of HaHekal, the court of the temple, there to cast lots for the different services. Why did so many take part? Rav Yochanan said, in order to gather the company, the Regesh, into the court of HaHekal. Thus, the verse above is read, we walked to the house of Elohim in a company, Bebeit Elohim Nihaleka B'Ragesh. When David finished his prayer, as scripture says, even in 2 Samuel 15:32, where it reads, it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount, where he was wont to worship Elohim, where he was accustomed to worship Elohim, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him. Upon seeing the Archite, David said, now there is no further irking of my wound. Now there is no further irking of my wound. And according to 2 Samuel 15:33-34, where it reads, And David said to him, if thou passest on with me, with I, then thou wilt be a burden to me. But if thou return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be thy servant, O Melech, O King, then I will defeat for I the counsel of Ahithophel. David said also to Hushai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, sent thee to me. No man except thee can bring to nothing the counsel of Ahithophel. David was further, he was afraid of the counsel of Ahithophel. David was afraid of the counsel of Ahithophel because it was very great counsel. And why was it called great? Scripture says, even in 2 Samuel 16:23, now the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man inquired of the Dibrei Elohim, inquired of the word of Elohim, the true good, the true God. Hence, here David said, Ribon Shela Olamim, Master of the Universe, Universal Master, to thee I must call. As is said, even in today's daily psalm, as for me, I call upon El Elohim, and Yahuwah Jehovah will save me, will save I. Ani Eli Elohim Ekra. As for me, I will call upon Elohim. Ani Eli Elohim Ekra. Wa Yahuwah Yoshi'ini. And Jehovah will save Ani. He will save me. Wa Yahuwah Yoshi'ini. Evening and morning and at noonday will I pray. Evening and morning and at noonday will I pray. Erev wa boker with tzohoraim. Ashicha, asicha, asicha. I will complain with ehemeh and moan. Why Yishma'a Koli, and he hath heard my voice. Evening and morning and at noonday will I pray. Erev Waboker with Fahorai Asicha. Rav Shmuel Samuel taught, from this verse we learn that a man is required to pray three times daily. And who instituted the three prayers? The patriarchs, the righteous fathers, instituted them. Abraham instituted the morning prayer. For it is said, even in Bereshit, Genesis 19:27, Abraham got up early in the morning, Baboker in the Boker, to the place where he had stood, Lifnei Yahuwah, before Jehovah. Here, stood, the word stood, clearly alludes to prayer, as in the verse from Psalm 106:30, then stood up, Phinehas and prayed. Yitzhak, Isaac, instituted the noonday prayer, the noonday tefillah, For it is said, even in Bereshit, Genesis 24:63, Yitzhak, Isaac, went out to meditate, to idotate in the field at the eventide. Here, meditate, the word meditate, idotate, clearly alludes to tefillah, to prayer, to tzelot, as in the verse from Psalm 102, verse 1, a prayer of the afflicted, when he fainteth, and poureth out his meditation, his iditation, lifnei Yahuwah, before Jehovah. Ya'ikob, Jacob. Jacob instituted the evening prayer, for it is said even in Bereshit, in Genesis 28:11, Ya'ikob, Jacob, made intercession at the place and tarried there all night. And the words made intercession clearly alludes to tefillah, to prayer, to tzelot, as in the verse from Jeremiah 7:16, where it reads, therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, neither make intercession to I. David said, since the patriarchs, the fathers, the patriarchs, instituted the three daily prayers, I, too, will meditate, iditate, evening, morning, and at noonday. He hath delivered my soul in peace, so that no one came near I. He hath delivered, he hath redeemed, he hath redeemed my soul in peace, so that no one came nigh I. Pada v'shalom nafshia mikrav li. He hath redeemed my soul in peace, so that no one came nigh, came near I. Pada v'shalom nafshia mikrav li. Rav, Yehoshua ben Lewi, Joshua ben Levi taught, what do the words, he hath delivered my soul in peace, he hath delivered my soul, he hath redeemed my soul, pada bishalom nafshi, what do these words mean? That a company of angels goes before a man, and these heavenly beings cry out, saying, make way for the likeness of Yahuwah, make way for the likeness of Jehovah. What need of a company of angels? Of angels. Rav Yudan, explaining the name of Rav Lewi of Levi, in the wide space of Ha'olam, of the universe, there is no place, even one so small, that it holds no more than a fourth of a kab of seed. That is, without 9 kab of demons. And blindfolds are fastened over the eyes of each of these demons, demonic entities, these klipa, klipot, as over the eyes of miller's asses. Why? That the demons, the klipot, may not injure mortals. But when a man sins, a man's sins bring it about, the blindfolds are removed from the klipot, from the demon's face, so that as he looks upon the man, he injures him. Hence, here, the heavenly beings cry out before a man, make way for the likeness of Yahuwah, for the likeness of Jehovah, in order that the demons, that the klipot, may not injure him. Accordingly, he hath delivered my soul in peace. He hath redeemed my soul in peace. Pada bishalom nafshi. And the words that follow, so that none came nigh I, mikrav li, so that none came near me. This means that David said, none of the klipot, none of the demons, demonic entities came near me, came near I. And why not? Because in the multitudes they were with me, as is read. As is said, the multitude of angels who were charged to keep Dawid, who were charged to keep David, as is said even in Psalm 91:11, for he will give his angels charge over the eye, over thee, to keep thee, the eye, in all thy ways. Another comment on, he hath delivered my soul in peace, so that none came nigh me, pada bishalom nafshi, mikrab li, What is meant by the words, so that none came nigh me, so that none came nigh I, mikrab li? They mean that David said, I behold Daniel, who is to rise up out of my tribe, and how though he be cast into a den of lions, they will not touch him. Thereupon David said, he hath delivered my soul in peace, so that no one came nigh me. Pada bishalom nafshi mikrabali. That is, the lions would not come nigh near Daniel. And who brought it about that Daniel was delivered? Those who, in the multitudes, were with me. By this, it is meant that Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah also put prayers together for Daniel. Hence here, David said, God shall hear and answer them. God shall hear and answer them. Yishma'el, ve'ya'enein. El shall hear. Yishma'el, ve'ya'enein. El shall answer. El shall hear. El shall hear and humble them. Ve'ya'enein, and humble them. Another comment. The verse, in multitudes, for they were many that strove with I, multitudes, alludes to Rachel. Thus the words, so that no one came nigh near me, mikrabali, this means that the designs of Esau came not nigh Rachel, Rachel, though the arrangements were that Jacob was to take Leah, and that Esau was to take Rachel. And who brought it about that Rachel was delivered from him? Those who in multitudes were with me. By this it is meant that Yaakov, that Jacob and Leah also put prayers together for Rachel, for Rachel. Thus we read, even in Bereshit, in Genesis 30 and 22, and Elohim and the true good, the true God remembered even the person of Rachel, and Elohim and God remembered even the person of Rachel. In this verse, the word Rachel, Rachel by itself, implies that Ha'el, the true good, the true God, Elohim, remembered her because of her own merit, because of her own credit. And the phrase, the person of Rachel, the person of Rachel, implies that he remembered her also because of the merit, the credit of the patriarchs and the matriarchs. Another comment on, he hath delivered my soul in peace, so that no one came near me. Pada bishalom nafshi mikrabali. The counsel of Ahithophel did not come nigh me, near I. Why not? Because in multitudes they were with me. In multitudes they were with me. Ki de rabim hayu imadi. For they were many that strove with I. The multitudes, the Rabbi, were the members of the Sanhedrin who put together prayers for I. Such as have no changes. Asher ein chelifota lamo. Such as have no changes in today's daily psalm. These words allude to Ahithophel and his band, in whose hearts the Yetzer Ra'ah, the inclination to Ra'ah, to evil, underwent no change. And so the verse, it goes on to say of them, and fear not Elohim, willo yaru Elohim, and they fear not Elohim, the true good, the true God. He has put forth his hands against his peaceful ones. Shalacha yadayoa bishlomayo, against those that were at peace with him, against his peaceful ones. Ahithophel and his band and his gang and his clique and his crew put forth their hands against men that were at shalom, at peace with him. And so the verse goes on to say of Ahithophel, he hath broken, he hath profaned, he hath broken his covenant. Chilel berito, chilel berito. He hath profaned his covenant, he hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. Chalko machemat, machemaota pio. The words of Achitophel were more slippery than butter. The verse it concludes with, his words were softer than oil, for they were soft. They were soft. His words were softer than oil, yet were they keen, sharp-edged swords. The words of Achitophel were so persuasive that everyone heeded him. Thus, like this we read, even in 2 Samuel 17, verse 1, verse 2, and verse 4, we read, moreover, Achitophel said to Absalom, make men now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee. And I will smite Hamelech, the king, the Nagus, only. And the saying, please Absalom well, and all the Ziknei Yisrael, and all the elders of Israel. When David saw that everyone was with Achitophel, and that everybody, and that everyone heeded him, he was afraid. Accordingly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, the Either One, blessed be, he said to David, be not afraid, though every man is with Achitophel, I am with thee. I am with thee. Thus, in today's daily psalm, it reads, cast thy burden upon Jehovah, and he will sustain thee. He will sustain thee. Hashleka Allah Yahuwah Yehabka. Wehu yekalakaleka, and he will sustain the eye. A mortal has a patron and goes to him the first time, and the patron receives him. The second time, and he receives him. The third time, the third eye one, he does not personally welcome him. And the fourth time, he cannot spare a moment for him. But not so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not so, the Holy One, the Idol One, blessed be he. Every time you impose yourself upon him, he receives you. Hence, here, cast what befalls thee upon Jehovah, and he will sustain thee. Hashlech Aliyahua Yehabeka, Wehua Yehalekeleka. Cast thy burden upon him, and he will carry it for thee. Hear. In today's daily psalm, it reads, But I, O Elohim, shall bring them down into the nethermost pit. But thou, O Elohim, we'ata Elohim, toridim, Liba era shachat into Gehenna, men of blood and deceit, anshe damim u mirma, men of blood and deceit, menstruating men of blood and deceit, Achitophel and his band and his clique and his crew and his posse and his gang shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. I will trust in thee. I. Anshe damim umirma. Lo yechetzua ye mehem. Wa ani. Ebtach bak. But as for I will trust in the I. Wa ani. Ebtach bak. Ebtach. 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 Ve'ata Elohim toridema liza'era shachata anshe damim u'mirma lo yechetzua yemehem. Wani ebtach bak, 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 bak. back, 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 back.